Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
we talk to two guys who run a record label in North Carolina.
Yep.
No. Yep Rock.
All right, it's a beautiful mid-October day.
Yeah, it really
is. Recording this.
Man, your patio is like Nirvana out here. Right now, Jim.
Nirvana, the state of being.
That's right.
It's really nice.
Yeah, it's lovely.
It may actually be too hot for this time of year, but it's all right. It's good.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it.
We don't have to go shirtless. Not that hot, folks. Don't worry.
Yes. You don't need to avert your eyes yet.
Let's hope it never gets that hot.
All right, so what are we talking about here today, Patrick? I'm Jim Linehan, by the way.
Hi, Jim Linehan. I'm Patrick Foster.
And this is Rockin' the Suburbs. And what are we talking about today?
Well, Jim, what we're going to talk about is a record label in a general sense. And that label is Yep Rock Records. I know it's a label you're a fan of.
I am.
And
but not one that maybe a lot of people have heard of. It's not like Atlantic or Elektra or any of that. Universal.
Although they're very eclectic.
Yes.
And, you know, they have a roster that's probably surprising to most people. I think when you go and look at it, you see some names on there. You're like, wow, why are these same two artists on this label? You know, that doesn't make any sense. Based in North Carolina, began as sort of a regional southeastern kind of a label and then began to expand and really does some things differently, I think, for a modern record label that a lot of others don't do. And they've sort of found a way to, I don't know, thrive and survive, you know, by using a mixture of all kinds of different methods. And so in many ways, they're really kind of a cool modern, you know, label, a paradigm for others.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they're celebrating their 20th anniversary.
20th anniversary just happened. Yeah, they had a celebration that took place the weekend of, I think, October 20th through the 22nd. Uh-huh. So literally just took place. And I was lucky enough to be able to spend some time with Glenn Dicker, who's the co-founder of the label, and Billy Maupin, the general manager, on the phone. Now, originally, full disclosure here, because this is what we do at Rockin' the Suburbs, I was supposed to be taking my daughter back to school. And I was going to, on the way back from North Carolina, she goes to college in North Carolina now. I was going to swing by and to actually talk to these guys in person, which would have been great. But unfortunately, as college students sometimes do and families sometimes do, plans get changed at the last minute. So I wasn't able to do that. But it was still great to talk to these guys on the phone for a while. And
all right. So we'll play that in just a second. Before we do, though, tell people who are some of the artists on Yep Rock.
Well, you know, you can go front to back. But I think let's start with Nick Lowe. He's a marquee artist for them right now.
Heard of him?
Yeah, heard of him. There's a band called Low Straight Jackets that you're going to hear a little bit about. You know, they actually put out a Paul Weller record. There's a band called Mandolin Orange that you'll hear Glenn talk a little bit about. That's a new artist. They've worked with our friend Chuck Prophet, worked with Robin Hitchcock. You know, they worked with a wide variety of people. They put out some go-between stuff.
So that's several really cool artists. And like you mentioned, it's really kind of eclectic. The Sadies are another one, right?
Yeah, big favorite of mine.
I'm kind of looking at their lineup right now. The Minus Five.
Yep. They did the Baseball Project, which
was
another one.
It shows here Fountains of Wayne. They've done some stuff with them.
They did a Fountains of Wayne record, and did a little bit of reissue work. They do reissue work as well.
Got it.
So they recently reissued a whole bunch of records by the Apples and Stereo on vinyl, and, you know, bands like that. So all kinds of eclectic stuff, as well as some roots music all over the place.
It's a really kind of an amazing lineup that they have here, the Yep Rock Galaxy of Stars. Lots of great stuff. And you can tell that they're really big fans of music first, which is what attracts us to want to talk to them. But then also part of your conversation, it's just interesting to me to hear, like, you know, what goes into running a record label these days. You know, in that 20-year period, you're talking about, you know, really major changes in the music industry, and these guys have managed to make it happen. A lot of people don't. That's just kind of fascinating to me to hear that kind of background, that insider kind of stuff.
Very interesting. Yep.
All right. So should we play it?
Let's do it.
All right. Let me go over to the tape deck.
All right. Hit play.
Play. No, not the record.
So I guess the first question is, 20 years old, did you have any idea, Glenn, or, you know, Billy, when you came on, that you guys would be marking a 20th anniversary?
Well, I'll start, I guess. I don't know that I was thinking anything about the future like that when this thing started, for sure.
Yeah.
It was just more of a kind of a day-to-day type of thing, and, you know, we were really just excited to be able to do it, and we were just happy to be continuing to do it. And I think our sort of viewpoint going into it was that this would work one way or another, but I guess we never really thought about any kind of celebration or anything like that. But maybe Billy, I think you probably may have a different answer to that.
I don't think that I did. I don't think that was on the radar until we started planning the 15th anniversary. And yeah. then that went so well that now it's all that people ask us about is when you're doing their next event and that kind of thing. So the last couple of years, anyway, we've definitely been thinking about the 20th anniversary because it's just an excuse to throw a, you know, really great party.
Seems like it's going to be incredible. And Billy, I imagine it's taken up a lot of your time here over the past few months, right?
It has. I'm fortunate we've got a bunch of great people within the company who kind of committed to different parts. So I think in this case, it's really been a group effort. So that's been very rewarding and has taken a little bit of the pressure off of me personally.
Okay, cool. Yeah, it seems like you guys have a really strong team. I'm a huge fan of the way you organize your label and run it and be able to offer fans things that not a lot of other places do. So, I mean, I'm actually just perusing here on Discogs some of the releases on Yep Rock, and it's kind of mind-blowing that you guys have released what you have, how you have, such an eclectic mix of artists. But Glenn, when you started, it really was kind of focused on just kind of local stuff, but not as a manifesto, right? Or as a credo.
Right. Yeah, it was. It was really, to be honest, it was a practical decision. We were a very small company. We had maybe, you know, four people at the company, myself and my business partner, Tor Hansen, included. And, you know, so we were running a distribution company as well as a record label, and we really could only do so much due to our reach. So we never wanted to kind of overshoot our abilities, and we wanted to make sure that the label could be fully supported by the distribution side of the business. Mm-hmm. So we started out as a Southeastern kind of focused company overall, again, just out of being practical. That's where we could get to, and that's where we could stretch ourselves to initially. So that was our focus. And then as the distribution expanded to more of a national and then international global organization, we expanded the label to, you know, kind of in kind. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like the label wasn't signing international acts before we were able to, you know, do it justice out in the marketplace accordingly.
Right. And that distribution background must have been immensely helpful when you were building the company, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man. I definitely was, for sure. I mean, I had almost 10 years of working for a distribution company and a record label, as well as running a small record label with a couple of other friends along the way as well. So definitely had a lot of experience, and my, you know, and Tor had a lot of experience as well. He also worked at distribution, then started working at retail as well. So, yeah, all that kind of stuff definitely made it easier to kind of get things rolling, for sure.
Yeah. And Billy, talk a little bit about it. You know, in some of the research I've been doing over the past week, I've seen you described as the quarterback, as, you know, your official title, I think, is general manager, but how do you put together an organization like this that's so focused on, or seems to be focused on the love of music and an eclectic roster and just sort of doing things that really make fans happy?
Yeah, I mean, it's something we talk about in an office all the time, about people's passion for music and really trying to find people who love what they're doing first and foremost, and, you know, have a love for the artist and sort of some of these crazier ideas that we've tried to pull off. I think, you know, we're very deliberate about that. In 2017, you know, you sort of have to love the music and be inspired by that. At times, you know, we're a small company, but there's a lot of opportunities. So I think we've done a really good job over the years of trying to identify that in people and then, you know, promote from there.
It seems like it would be really important. And speaking of some of those crazy things, tell our listeners a little bit about this. It's called The Completist, right? It's a thing you guys got going for 2018.
Yeah, it's our subscription to Yep Rock, basically. And it includes yearly every release that we put out, plus a lot of extras along the way. And one of the big drawing cards has been we give people tickets to pretty much any show on a worldwide basis that they want to go to by Yep Rock artists. So we've had people in Australia take advantage of it, and Europe, and obviously in the US. And, you know, the feedback's been very positive. They have a Facebook group that they've organized, and they post pictures and talk about the records that are coming. And, you know, we give all kinds of digital extras. We've recorded a few shows kind of that we've never released that we've shared with them. So I think it's just based around the music fan that you're talking about, who's super passionate, very engaged, wants more. You know, they want everything that we can put out there. So it's been great. It's entering into its fifth year next year. And I'm really excited because this year at Yep Rock 20, a good chunk of them, probably about 40 of them, are making the trek to North Carolina.
Oh, wow.
So we'll be able to hang out with them directly and kind of make sure they have a good time. So looking forward to that.
Yeah, that's amazing. And Glenn, talk a little bit, if you would. And I think you and I might be of pretty similar vintage. I think I was reading, Glenn, was it you that was on stage at the old 930 Club at a Flesh Tone show wearing a Burger King crown? I think I was at that
was
show, man. I swear to God. I grew up around D.C. and have been going to... I'll make sure to put a link so our listeners can read that whole story because it's pretty great.
That's awesome.
Yeah, anybody who's ever seen the Flesh Tones, of course, understands how easy it is to get sweated on. Talk a little bit, if you would, about how have you been able to build a successful business by riding all these changes? You know, we're in the age of Spotify now where, you know, I don't know why I need, you know, 2,000 records in my basement if I can stream all this stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the easiest answer to that, again, I would sort of point to the distribution side of our business. You know, we've made decisions along the way based on being a distributor of music, whatever that may mean, whatever format it entails, we want to be doing it. So, you know, for us as a label, I mean, we've certainly kind of helped, you know, lead the way in some cases, but, you know, the distribution side has had to, just by sake of being able to survive, has had to adapt to those different ways of distributing music. Mm-hmm. And I think the great thing about Yep Rock and under Billy's leadership, you know, we've been able to go out there and experiment with the ways, different ways of marketing, I would say, within the different formats. And I'm especially talking about the most recent iteration of streaming, and, you know, and much more so as well. But I think that that's something that, you know, as a label, you know, we've also kind of taken the marketing side of that bit of business and really embraced it. And I think it's done us well to do so.
Have you found that, let's say, an established artist, and I'll just say, you know, Nick Lowe is probably one of the most famous names you guys have been working with recently, Does that play a part at all in when you want to work with them, or do they talk about that, or do they just kind of trust you guys and your experience and your success when they say, yeah, I'll sign up?
That's an interesting question. I would say a more established artist. I mean, we've been working with Nick for pretty much since 2001 on mm-hmm. this label. So, you know, that was around, I guess, you know, iTunes time, but there was yeah. never a conversation about digital or anything like that. It was more just a sort of trust. And I think that's the same with any sort of artist to a certain extent that maybe has been around the block a few times. He's kind of looking for, you know, a place that feels comfortable and a place where they feel like they're going to be taken seriously and given attention. Whereas a more developing younger artist, like say a Mandolin Orange or somebody like that, yep. they're going to be much more focused on those types of things. They're going to be more interested in seeing how we do types of marketing and promotion within that sort of digital streaming landscape. So it kind of really depends. And I think it's really both, I suppose.
That's really interesting. Earlier this year, we had the opportunity to interview Chuck Prophet, and he was talking about how he works now and how important it is to have a label that allows him the flexibility to sort of record when he's ready, you know, and to tour kind of on his own schedule around the other parts of his life. And it just seems like you guys have really hit on a way to run a label that's both very modern yet adheres to, you know, a lot of the tenets that I think music lovers appreciate. And I think for our listeners, I mean, you mentioned Mandolin Orange. What are some of the other younger acts that you guys are working with that you know, those of our listeners who might be more Nick Lowe fans or you know, some of the older acts you have that would be interesting?
As far as more developing artists, there's an artist called the Stray Birds. Basically live in Nashville and Pennsylvania, and they're a trio, but they've added a drummer of late, but essentially started out as more of a they're kind of like an indie folk kind of band, I would say they are. There's an artist from New York called Jeremy and the Harlequins who are kind of doing their take on early 60s rock, kind of a, you know, true to the form kind of rock and roll band that, you know, definitely putting their own take on the music. They've been a big hit on, say, like Little Steven's Underground Garage, for example.
Okay. So that was really interesting, right, Jim?
Seemed like cool guys.
Yeah, they're really nice guys, and I appreciate them taking some time. But I also loved the idea that you can subscribe to an entire record label for a year ahead of time like that. So in that sense, you know, they've figured out these creative different ways to do combined vinyl and digital and live shows. Like if you subscribe, you get a ticket to the live show anywhere in the world. Like how amazing is that?
That's sort of the kicker on the whole thing.
Yeah.
I know there are other labels that do things like that sort of subscription models where they'll send you a new release a month or whatever it may be, or even some kind of like unique special releases that are only for the subscribers, but I've never heard of including the live show.
Isn't that cool?
Same package.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah, and they sometimes record live gigs and, you know, send them just to the subscribers, and it's taken on a life of its own, which is really... So they figured it out, you know, how to be a cool label in 2017.
I think everybody's kind of still figuring things out, right?
Right.
But, you know, kudos to them for coming up with a new way and incorporating the live into it, because, as we know, that's sort of a key piece of, you know, any band's, you know, sustained business model these days.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really cool.
Yeah.
Now, this is not one of those deals where you like select like 12 records and send in a penny.
You do have to tape a penny to something at some point. Yeah.
All right.
Now, that's the Rock in the Suburbs subscription. We're still working on that.
Yes.
Big announcement to come.
We have all these unpaid invoices there for people who aren't, you know, following up, right?
That we hope to pay in pennies.
So we're going to talk a little bit more with the Yep Rock guys tomorrow, right?
Yeah. So Glenn and Billy, tomorrow what you're going to hear is a little bit more of her getting into the specific acts they have on the label and kind of some of the cool reissue stuff they've done.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's fun. Okay. So people will be able to hear some of that music too,
right? They will.
Right?
Yeah. There'll be many clips.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to that tomorrow.
Yep.
You are, of course, listening to Rock in the Suburbs. This is a podcast that you can find on Apple Podcasts or Audio Boom or many, many other podcast platforms, kind of like the record label industry. We have to distribute widely to a lot of different places.
Multiple revenue streams.
Yeah, I'd like one revenue stream. But what I was going to say here, a way that you can become part of like our little club.
There are things you can do.
You could please subscribe to the show.
That would mean a lot.
On iTunes. We'd really appreciate that. And then the stuff comes right to you. And that doesn't cost anything. There's no penny taping involved.
It's free.
The other thing you can please do is rate and review the show.
Love that.
Also helps us quite a bit. And that doesn't cost you anything either than just, you know, a few moments of your time and maybe a little bit of mental energy. But you don't have to do a lot.
Five stars are free, Jim. You just put down the 5 stars and you're done.
Really don't even have to think about it.
Yep.
Just do that. You can also let us know what you think about record labels, Yep Rock, any of the artists we've talked about, any of that stuff, music in general, music industry, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our Suburban Party line. That number is 612-440-1984. And if you're not into, you know, the call thing, you don't want to talk to us. We like it because we can put your voice on the show. But if you'd rather just, you know, type something out, then you can email us rock@suburbspod.com or you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram @SuburbsPod, where you can put little comments there.
Mm-hmm.
We should also mention that you can visit our website, which is suburbspod.com, and you can listen to the show there or read more about, you know, the various episodes and find the songs we've played and all that.
Please do.
Thanks to Sam for keeping that.
Yes, thanks to Sam.
Anything else, Patrick?
I think that's it.
All right.
I'm looking forward to tomorrow's conversation.
Tomorrow, more Yep Rock. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Oh, yes. I love my label, and my label loves me. Oh, she's so good and kind. Together we will pave our destiny. Records like this.
Well, thanks for the interest, man.